Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, here they go. They just go from one lie to the next lie. The fake news media, they go from one fake news spin cycle to the next fake news spin cycle. I mean, COVID-19, the Russia hoax. Joe Biden is as fit as he's ever been. I mean, we saw it with our own eyes, the cognitive decline of Joe Biden. But look, cognitive decline. He had already cognitively declined in 2019 before he was even installed as president of the United States. We already knew he was in bad shape before the 2020 elections. And then for 4 years, we saw all of the raw video footage of what a mess the guy was. And yet look at the way Jake Tapper and all these guys straight up lied to the American people and clutched their pearls and lectured anybody who dared suggest that Joe Biden wasn't 100%, shall we say. Now, they're basically doing the same thing with the video footage coming out of Los Angeles with the LA riots. And the fake news media wants to interpret everything for you. They don't want you to get the news straight in your fingertips like what you get right now. And so now they're literally telling you don't believe what you are seeing. Here's Jesse Waters last night.
Democrats are covering up the riots like Biden's brain.
It's no different than when a team wins a national championship and people get overexcited and they overturn vehicles and light them on fire. Local law enforcement is prepared to handle those types of situations. Marines and National Guardsmen are not.
Yeah, Dodgers fans went a little nuts when they beat the Yankees, but this is a five-day riot. Pelosi said, cut them some slack. People are just feeling a little exuberant.
When there is a gathering, a large gathering of people, the anarchists see it as an opportunity and they move in. So always have to be careful whether you see a burned car or a broken window or whatever it is. It may be the exuberance of the moment, but it may be the anarchist setting in.
Maxine Waters, no relation, says, what violence? I don't see any violence.
Even those who were out of step with what we are advocating, peaceful protest, did not create any violence. Nobody was shot. Nobody was killed. Get it in your head. Don't think that somehow, because they called out the National Guard, there was violence. There was no violence. I was on the street. I know.
I didn't see violence is the new I didn't see Biden decline.
Yeah, and not only that, but what she is saying is she's saying, well, there wasn't a whole bunch of dead bodies in the streets. There wasn't a... She's downplaying the violence that actually did occur, the law enforcement officers that were injured, the vehicles that were destroyed, the looting that happened. She's downplaying all of it. But what she's failing to recognize is that how much worse everything actually would be and would have been had Donald Trump not called out the National Guard and the Marines. All right. Hey, we should have J.P. Gallagher, Butte Silver Bow Chief Executive, coming up right after this. We're going to talk about the future of the Montana Women's Prison and much more. Stand by.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partial sun and some cloudiness today, we'll see some scattered showers and storms possible in the afternoon. Highs from the upper 70s in Bozeman to the mid-80s in the Billings area. For tonight, looking at more showers and a few thunder showers, especially early on. Temperatures head back to around 50 in Bozeman to the upper 50s in Billings. Still seeing more scattered storm chances Thursday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
ABC News fired Terry Moran late yesterday, and it was inevitable. First, he was suspended. ABC looked into it. The way in which, with the harsh personal attacks against White House Domestic Policy Chief Stephen Miller and President Trump, calling them world-class haters, I will never, ever understand why this veteran newsman would do such a thing, blowing up his own career. Now, technically, ABC not renewing his contract, but his contract is about to expire. It is really more telling about Terry Moran and the embarrassment that he caused his network than it is about anything he said about either Miller or Trump. Why he did this, why he blew up his career, I will never, ever understand. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe. This.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. So the current Montana Women's Prison is, hey, right down the street, really, right down 27th Street from our KBUL radio studios in Billings. And I don't know if you guys have heard about this much yet. It came up during the legislative session, actually even before that, but they're talking about building a new Montana women's prison and potentially relocating the Montana women's prison to Butte. And so the question was, will the women's prison stay in Billings or will the women's prison move to Butte? And now, 15, 20 years ago, well, here's what I find interesting is that you're not really hearing a lot of chatter or seeing a lot of the chatter about this topic coming from Billings or from Butte. Or the chatter that you are seeing in Butte right now is basically it looks like people are questioning this opportunity, like they're leaning towards opposing this opportunity for Butte, which is kind of interesting because if you think back 15 or 20 years ago, if there was an opportunity to have jobs like this, whether it's a government job or a private sector job, you would have thought that the Billings and Butte would be fighting over an opportunity like this to see who would get, you know, these jobs and who would get this facility and what it means for economic development. But yeah, I haven't heard, you know, leaders in Billings press the Montana Department of Corrections to say, yeah, we want to keep the prison in Billings. But what I have seen, and there's been different Montana television network reports, there's been I think NBC Montana reports, the lead newspapers have been covering this as well. Basically, you are starting to see some questioning of this opportunity for Butte. You are starting to see where some folks are in leadership positions are basically demanding more information from the state and then public sentiment opposing the women's prison being built in Butte, which I just find pretty interesting because of the fact that, you know, you would think, you know, Butte is basically a union town and a state prison, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, would have potential union jobs because they're government employees who would be represented by a government employees union. And so, but it looks like when you see some of the sentiment coming from Butte Silver Bow Commissioners Russell O'Leary and John Morgan, they're pressing the Montana Department of Corrections for more information before they can make any sort of decision here. But yeah, meanwhile, you've got Department of Corrections Director Brian Gutkin, the former Gallatin County Sheriff, touting benefits like 100 jobs, plus it would allow for the potential relocation of the Highlands College. But yeah, it seems like what you're seeing and hearing, at least in the press out of Butte, is more skepticism of this type of an opportunity. I just find that very interesting because of the fact that, you know, man, if you went back 10, 15, 20 years ago or so, you would have thought that that folks in Butte would be screaming for, you know, potential union jobs, something like this. Anyway, great to have J.P. Gallagher back with us here on Montana Talks, Butte Silverbow Chief Executive. JP, thanks for being with us. Before we talk about the potential women's prison, well, hey, Air Force Two landing in Butte. It sounds like that created some excitement there in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it was. It did create a little excitement. J.D. Vance landed and jumped in his motorcade, and I believe went down to Dillon yesterday. But just excitement about him landing in Butte. We didn't get an opportunity to go out and meet with him or anything, but, you know, always when you have a dignitary like that, it's nice to see him, you know, land here in our community.
Yeah, there's been a few vice presidential / presidential visits to Butte over the years. I know former President Obama visited Butte. I'm trying to think about some of the others. It'd be fun to do a recap one of these days.
Yeah, Bill Clinton came out when his wife was running and things. So we did over the last 10 years or so, 20 years, have had a few in town. But, yeah, it's always good to see. It creates some excitement. But like I said, we didn't get to really see him. He took his motorcade and off he went. A lot of security around him, and our police force and everybody were working to make sure that he was secure as he left here.
Any word on what he was doing down in Dillon? It sounds like he had a dinner to attend there, but I hadn't heard much else.
Yeah, rumor has it, I don't have any real official, but I think he was down visiting the Matador Ranch, which is owned by Rupert Murdoch, and I think that's where he went off to.
That's what I was kind of wondering. I don't have any information to base that off of, but that was kind of my speculation back in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. Well, let's see. We got about a minute before we go to our next break, and then we can come back to you after that. But the future of the Montana Women's Prison, it's in Billings now. The DOC is looking at, do we keep it in Billings or do we put it in Butte? Sounds like there's some concern in Butte for potentially relocating the women's prison there.
Yeah, there is, and I think that there's a lot more questions that need to be answered about what the potential impact would be. And, you know, as you said, our commissioners are asking for answers. Director Gookin did come and talk about wanting to potentially relocate it, and Butte was one of the sites they were looking at with the advantage of Highlands College. But we can kind of touch on that and what the concerns are locally if they were to come here.
All right. Well, we'll come back to you here after the Farm and Ranch Report, if you can stick with us for just a few more minutes. But, yeah, I want to hear more about what those concerns are and also the opportunity. I know, Butte has seen the post-COVID growth like so much of the rest of Western Montana. Is that partly why, you know, communities like Butte might say, whoa, to opportunities like this? So more to follow with Butte Silverbow Chief Executive J.P. Gallagher right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It was so easy, at least for a while, announce an ambitious carbon target for some future year in front of the microphones and cameras, and bask in the approval that immediately followed. This formula was usually followed by a turning of the screws to shut down existing electric generating resources that were biggest emitters. But now it's time to get serious. Even if the technologies to replace fossil fuel resources at full scale were ready for the challenge, and they decidedly are not, the rarely mentioned cost of huge investments needed are becoming daily more apparent. Meanwhile, a new force in energy has emerged, and the voracious new appetite for power coming from rollout of data centers, electrification, and AI. And so a more grown-up discussion of the future of energy would recognize a few realities. Wind and especially solar have helped fill the hole in generation from the retirement of coal, but we're not ready to retire what's left as quickly as folks think. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. A study is looking at data from the 13 years after a 2010 Supreme Court decision that limited local government's ability to restrict gun ownership. And it finds gun-related deaths of children and teenagers rose in states that relaxed gun laws. Researchers finding the amount of kids under age 18 who died from firearm injuries exceeded the expected figure for that time by nearly 7,500. A total of 23,000 deaths. The 9 states that enforced the strictest gun laws had no increase in youth firearm deaths. California, New York, Maryland, and Rhode Island saw a significant decrease in deaths. That study published in JAMA Pediatrics. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says guns became the leading cause of death for young kids and teens in the U.S. in 2023 from ages 1 to 17. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, Elisa Brady, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Now that spring planting is pretty much wrapped up, ag producers should make an appointment with their local Farm Service Agency county office to complete crop acreage reports before their deadlines. July 15th is a major deadline for most crops, but acreage reporting deadlines may vary by county and crop. To file a crop acreage report, producers need to provide a number of facts, including crop type or variety and the number of crop acres. More information can be found at fsa.usda.gov or by contacting your local FSA office. Looking to other news, the American Farm Bureau Federation, in partnership with Farm Credit, has extended the deadline for entrepreneurs to apply online for the 2026 Farm Bureau Ag Innovation Challenge to June 15th. Now in year number 12, the National Business Competition showcases U.S. startup companies developing innovative solutions to challenges faced by America's farmers, ranchers, and rural communities. The overall winner of the competition receives $100,000 in startup funds. The runner-up will be awarded $25,000, and two additional business owners who advance to the final four round will receive $10,000. If you have a vision for how your business can drive agriculture forward, apply today. Again, that application deadline period closes on June 15th. Visit fb.org/challenge for details. I'm Lane Northland.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, interesting. So I just came across this story that was just published here late yesterday. Montana Department of Corrections eyeing Butte, Boulder, and Hardin for the new women's prison. The new women's correctional facility is one of several prison expansions funded by the 2025 legislature. So that's interesting. Now that not only J.P. Gallagher, chief executive for Butte Silverboat, does that tell me then that Billings is out of the mix? That it's looking like Butte, Boulder, or Hardin at this point for the potential new women's prison?
You know, the Department of Corrections hasn't given us really any indication that they've put, you know, anyone else on the table or off the table with Billings. I know that there was still some talk about Billings, so that's the first I've heard about that, of Hardin being in the running and then Billings off the table. But they haven't indicated that for us. I know that, you know, in Butte, you know, one of the advantages for Butte that they were looking at is the potential buying of Highlands College and moving Highlands College up to the North Campus. And that'd be a benefit to Montana Tech and Highlands College, but the logistics of that are a challenge. And also they put put in so that there's a placeholder for $50 million, but they didn't put the money into it. So the money would have to be found somewhere. So, you know, that's one of the challenges and that's one of the resistance of Butte, is that if it hurts Highlands College, which is a really great two-year school that has been really adaptive to creating programming and workforce development out there, and if it was to hurt that college by not funding it to move to the North Campus, that doesn't benefit Butte. One of the resistances is a prison is technically on studies and stuff, not a great economic development tool either. You talked about a lot of the advantages, but there's some negatives too to bringing a prison in, and some of it is just perception. And it's not always reality, but it's perception.
And Butte, post-COVID-19, Butte, Silverboat, broader area, like much of all of Western Montana, has seen pretty strong growth as well, right?
Yeah, we really have, and we're having a lot of talks and development around rare earth minerals and critical minerals and development around that, and you know, working with Headwaters Tech Hub, there's industry that's looking at coming to Butte. And so we talk about the 100 jobs and the construction, $250 million, those are all positive benefits to the community, but it's also a state run facility that doesn't pay local property taxes. And so, you know, they use the resource, but they don't pay the property tax. And so that's some of the questions about the advantage versus the disadvantage of bringing them in. And then also the 100 jobs, you know, we got to think about workforce housing. And then also talking about Deer Lodge, a lot of the employees of Deer Lodge live in Butte and Anaconda. And so there's a worry that Deer Lodge would lose a lot of employees that would want to, you know, work in Butte rather than Deer Lodge. And would that hurt their workforce there as well?
Interesting. So Deer Lodge is kind of local economy has struggled, you know, with the Main Street businesses, things like that. So I could see that concern. Yeah, this is a new article that came out by Zeke Lloyd with the Montana Free Press saying that, yeah, the Montana Department of Corrections said Tuesday they're considering three localities, Hardin, Butte, and the greater Boulder area. Apparently, 84% of Montana's nearly 300 incarcerated women are at the women's prison in Billings right now, but then another chunk of those inmates are also being housed in Boulder right now at a facility in Boulder as well. But yeah, it sounds like Hardin is more enthusiastic about the idea, you know, in terms of the economic development standpoint there as well. So that'll be interesting to see, especially as some of the more rural parts of Montana, you know, in the east haven't had the growth like the western part of the state has had.
Yeah, I agree. And we also understand, you know, you don't want to be a community that says not in our town always as well, you know. Prisons need to be located somewhere, and you mentioned it earlier, you know, you look back 20 years ago and say, hey, 100 new jobs in Butte as we were struggling and not growing in a pretty stagnant economy. I think the community might have been more enthusiastic about this, but knowing, you know, we're kind of in a little bit of a housing crunch and having workforce housing, and then we have these other businesses and industries looking to potentially come to Butte.
Especially rare earth minerals. Rare earth minerals. We're talking, you know, show me the money, Jerry Maguire type of action right there with rare earth minerals mining for the mining city. Incredible opportunity. Hey, J.P. Gallagher, hold that thought if you can. I got the Fox News update here. I'll come back to you in 60 seconds. He's got some new information, some news on that data center coming to Butte that we talked about the last time. A riots. I don't think he's going to be able to join us here in a few minutes. We'll see. Dan Bruner, former FBI special agent, retired Hispanic gang expert. I saw him on Fox News the other day talking about the LA riots and much more. And I thought, oh, we got to get him back here on the show because he lives in Bozeman and has joined us a few times. And so I want to get his take on the LA riots and, you know, the attacks on federal law enforcement and much more. But back to it here, J.P. Gallagher, chief executive for Butte Silver Bow. Again, thanks for your time this morning. So last time we caught up with you, you told us that this potential data center moving to Butte, that could be a $1 billion with a B or potentially upwards of a $4 billion investment in Butte. Essentially, if that data center moves to town, and the new information, you've got some new information for us from the last time we caught up.
Yeah, no. So they're under a purchase to own 600 plus acres in Butte, and we've been working with them pretty diligently about that. There's still hurdles to be had with that, getting energy there. They're in. In the legislative session, you know, they put in some ability for them to move forward and be a business model that the state supports. We have industrial water that can help with cooling. That's one of the attractive features of Butte is that we have that. So, you know, that's one of the consumptions of energy, and so that would help reduce the energy consumption they have, so that makes it attractive. And then the location that we have, you know, for them to put this out at the Montana Connections Park. So, yeah, we've had a lot of conversations with them. They're working diligently with REC and Northwestern Energy and us and trying to get this move forward.
Well, very interesting. J.P. Gallagher, great to have you on the show. Thanks for your time this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, appreciate it. Yeah, keep us posted on that as well. But, yeah, interesting to hear some ink on paper. And, you know, that kind of ties in with my earlier conversation when we had Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines join us from the Capitol kicking off the 6 o'clock hour of this show. You know, he was talking about how he wanted to be down in Dillon with J.D. Vance, with VP Vance yesterday, but he's got work to do. He's got work to do to get that one big, beautiful bill across the finish line back on Capitol Hill. And then on top of that, he talked about meeting just this week with Interior Secretary Doug Burgum, talking about Montana Energy and unleashing Montana Energy. Look, if we're going to have a $4 billion with a B dollar data center in Butte, it's going to need a lot of energy. And one of the things I asked Senator Daines was, hey, are we on the path to not only to save Colstrip 3 and 4, but to potentially reopen 1 and 2? That would be great news, not only for Colstrip, but if you ask me, that would be great news for Butte as well. Phone lines are open for you. Back right after this.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Now I got to go back and listen to what Maxine Waters had to say here. We got some great messages coming in on the Montana Talks app. John in Bozeman says this: good morning, Aaron. I am seeing videos of the Summer of Love peaceful protesters in L.A. that are so upset about the ICE raids, they're stealing Nike tennis shoes. Yeah, yesterday I shared a post on X by Senator Tim Sheehy, who made a similar point. Yeah, those Summer of Love peaceful protesters, they're so upset about the ICE raids, they're looting the Apple stores so they can get their hands on a whole bunch of new iPhones. Yeah, I tell you what, they're just humanitarians, John. They just love people from other countries. They love the rapists, murderers, gangbanger thugs so much that that's why they're protesting in the streets. And while they're at it, they also love Nikes and iPhones. John, thanks for the message. But Chuck in Billings sent me a message, too. So earlier I played the Jesse Waters clip from last night where he was, you know, highlighting the fact that now Democrats are telling you, and that Stelter guy on CNN, they're all telling you, hey, don't believe what you see on X. Don't believe those videos of the riots. Trust us. Listen to us. The same people that said don't believe the videos showing Joe Biden's cognitive decline, they're now saying don't believe the videos of the riots out there. But Chuck sent a message. He says, during the Maxine Waters soundbite, did you notice the distinct pause after she said, don't think? She did continue her statement, but I think the pause was very deliberately done. So I guess my question for Chuck would be, why do you think her pause was deliberately done? But maybe I'll pick up on it. Maybe I'll pick up what you're throwing down here. Let me play that Maxine Waters soundbite from Jesse Waters' program last night once again.
Even those who were out of step with what we are advocating, peaceful protest, did not create any violence. Nobody was shot. Nobody was killed. Get it in your head. Don't think that somehow, because they called out the National Guard, there was violence. There was no violence. I was on the street. I know.
I guess I missed the pause there. So, yeah. So, shoot me another message there, Chuck, on the Montana Talks app message. Or, hey, maybe our other listeners picked up on it, and I just missed it while quickly playing it back here. Tim and Savage says this. Mad Maxine says there is no violence, but Mayor Karen puts in a curfew. Yeah, if you guys didn't hear, Karen Bass, the mayor of L.A., put in a curfew, 8 p.m. curfew start time in Los Angeles. And that was the same mayor who said, everything's fine. We've got it under control. Then why are you putting a curfew in place? Oh, Donald Trump has National Guard guarding buildings, and that's authoritarian dictatorship. But you are telling people they can't go downtown at all after 8 p.m., and that's not authoritarian. Anyway, Tim and Savage added this. He says, why isn't Mad Maxine
screaming like a Karen at the mayor for imposing a Marxist racist curfew for no reason. Does that crazy female version of Brandon not believe we can see what is happening? Great message there from Tim in Savage. All right. Oh, Nancy in Roundup had a great email as well here, talking about the Montana Women's Prison, which is, you know, currently located in Billings. And anyway, Nancy says this. Great idea here. Great idea. She says, yes, move the prison from Billings. The old site can be used to house illegal aliens caught in Bozeman and Kalispell. There's your ICE detention facility right there. What? Four blocks away from us. What would you say? One, two, three. Yeah, about four blocks. About four blocks away from us. There you go. There's your ICE detention facility. The other idea I've thought of, you know, like that one, Nancy, is near Shelby, they have the Core Civic, the prison operated by Core Civic. Maybe Billings could have a, you know, a privately operated detention facility in Billings. You know, that gives you a little bit more flexibility across the board. So just another idea there, too, because I know the folks in Shelby really greatly appreciate Core Civic up there on the High Line. All right, back into the phone lines we go. We were talking about data centers and energy and a potential data center coming to Butte, America. Let's go to Kevin in Billings. Kevin, what's your thoughts?
Well, Aaron, before I get to my topic, did you get my email? I sent you some sound bites of Harriet Hageman on my podcast.
Yes, I did. And I'm going to take those sound bites and throw them in my AI software here so that I can pull the transcript and then maybe do a story for our website. Do a little promo for your podcast, if that's okay. And then play the sound bites on the air as well. Yeah.
Yeah, my podcast, for those that don't know, Rocky Mountain Freedom Zone, I interviewed Harriet Hageman. I thought it was a very good interview. Have you read Glenn Beck's book, Agenda 21? I'll tell you this right into energy.
That one came out a while ago. I have not read the book. But, yeah, what are the key takeaways that tie into this conversation?
In that book, the people in the book walk on this, I guess it's a, I can't remember the name of it, but this energy board is what it's called. They walk on it like you would a treadmill for 20 minutes, and it puts energy into the system, whatever system that they're using, and that powers the central figure's house. It powers, you know, basically the whole center where people go to socialize or whatever, and they have work to do. And then they ride these bicycles. Then they put their bicycles on this little device, I guess, when they get to their apartments, and it feeds energy into the system. You know, we talked about these energy centers are going to have nuclear energy farms. I don't know how we're going to power these. They're going to have to be powered by nuclear energy farms or something.
Yeah.
Water, dams, whatever, but then you and I won't have the energy. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the Agenda 21 scenario that Glenn Beck laid out in his book.
Yeah, it's funny when you share that story about treadmills. My gym got some new equipment, and I love it because the treadmills and the bikes and the stair climbers and things like that, they have like a little pad you can just set your cell phone on, and it'll charge your cell phone while you're sitting there on the on the treadmill or something.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that before.
Which is great, yeah, because, you know, sometimes you show up and you're listening to music or whatever, and you're like, oh, man, my cell phone's a little low on power, and so you can repower while you're getting your power workout in. No, not only are we going to need nuclear, I mean, that's why Google has recently signed an agreement for small-scale nuclear reactors. Intel, which, you know, bought out, or not Intel, no, who is it? Oracle bought out Right Now Technologies in Bozeman. They've, you know, been working on small-scale nuclear reactor deals. Everybody's working on, all these people that were lecturing us about woke energy, and, well, we only want this power, we don't want that power. They don't care anymore. They are so desperate for energy to power all these data centers. And so, yeah, but obviously, not only holding on to coal and coal strip 3 and 4 is part of the equation. That's just part of the getting coal strip 1 and 2 back up and running. That's just part of the equation. You know, and meanwhile, the Democrats were trying to shut down a natural gas power plant in Laurel, Montana. If they don't even want natural gas, how much are they going to kick and scream over nuclear, right?
Exactly. Can I talk about my podcast real quick?
Go for it.
Okay. We're going to have an interesting podcast this weekend. I'm going to record it tomorrow. We're going to talk about, I'm going to actually be interviewed by two people, Liz Knight and Brian Hyde. Liz Knight is a marketing specialist, or was, and Brian Hyde's a podcaster in Idaho. They're going to interview me, and we're going to talk about the future of podcasting and terrestrial radio. Do you have any thoughts about the future of podcasting and terrestrial radio?
Oh, good question. You know, the beauty of you know, the whole digital space, not just podcasting, but just the whole digital space, is that radio has remained constant. Radio is inherently a part of digital, right? And so the more that people turn to digital platforms for news and information and commentary and everything, is I think it's just good news for radio. I mean, it's just like, you know, a lot of people, they'll listen to this show either on the app or the live stream, or they'll listen on the podcast later. Some people think I speak too quickly, and then other folks don't think I speak fast enough. Or maybe they're fine with how quickly or slowly I speak, but they want to get through more information faster. So with the app, they will actually speed up the conversation. Fine. So they can speed through all 4 hours of Montana Talks even faster. So, but no, I think, you know, the thing with podcasts is how do you monetize it? How do you make it economical so that people can make a living off of it, right? So, like, you know, I don't expect you to tell us how you make money off it, or you may just do it for fun. That's the key thing, because, you know, a lot of people want to get a podcast, but the key is how do you feed a family while doing something like a podcast, like a radio show, right? Works. It's got a massive microphone with a ton of people inherently, but you got to play in both spaces, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, Kevin, man, I hear the music. We got to run to a quick, speaking of paying the bills, we got to pay some bills right now. Plus, we got Tommy Lahren commentary to have a little fun as well. All right, back right after this. Thanks for the phone call, Kevin.
Ah, smart water, now in a sleek can.
This feels cool, literally.
Perfect for social gatherings and on the go.
Should I start wearing turtlenecks?
One sip at a time, friend. Smart water cans, for those with a taste for taste. Get yours today.
Fox News commentary.
Only blue state leaders would be enraged by the president providing backup to save their own city. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Emily Campagno, host of the Fox True Crime Podcast. This week, Pulitzer Prize-winning author Caroline Fraser joins me to discuss the cultural and environmental factors that shaped America's era of serial killers.
Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com.
I'm Dana Perino. This week on Perino on Politics, I'm joined by Stephen Law.
Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcast.com.
Or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Must listen to podcasts from Fox News Audio.
California's inept governor refused to call in the National Guard to protect L.A., and now he and the rest of the morons who run the city and state are infuriated that President Trump did it for them. Now, the leaders of California believe, or at least they want you to believe, that sending in the National Guard to keep the city from burning is the inflammatory part, not the people quite literally inflaming the city. Of course, the hacks of fake stream media are happy to assist in that bogus narrative, because in their minds, the violent and lawless rioters are the good guys with the noble cause. President Trump was right to call in the National Guard to L.A. We learned in 2020 that if you allow thugs to go wild and unfettered, they will not stop until everything has been burned, looted, or otherwise destroyed. But as I keep telling you, L.A. is not savable. I'm convinced the leaders of that city and state want it to fail. There's no other explanation for the behavior. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
She got her start in horse racing and then enjoyed a career as an ESPN sports reporter. She now lives in Red Lodge. Check out our conversation with Janine Edwards, MontanaTalks.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With partial sun and some cloudiness today, we'll see some scattered showers and storms possible in the afternoon. Highs are in the upper 70s in Bozeman to the mid-80s in the Billings area. For tonight, looking at more showers and a few thunder showers, especially early on. Temperatures head back to around 50 in Bozeman to the upper 50s in Billings. Still seeing more scattered storm chances Thursday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Montana's own David Allen is featured prominently in a new Dale Earnhardt documentary. If you remember the NASCAR legend Dale Earnhardt. Yeah, David Allen, former CEO of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. He now heads up the Nile Rodeo in Billings. We talked about the NASCAR glory days, the new Dale Earnhardt documentary, and much more. Plus, outdoor rodeo making its big comeback later this summer. Check out our full conversation with David Allen, MontanaTalks.com, or get it on the app.
Securing America.
America's military leaders appeared before a House Appropriations Subcommittee Tuesday to discuss the Defense Department's budget for fiscal year 2026. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth.
The $961.6 billion budget request, over $1 trillion for national security, will end 4 years of chronic underinvestment in our military.
But there was pushback from committee members of both parties about the overdue nature of the Pentagon's budget request. Minnesota Democrat Betty McCollum.
It was due in February. Today is June 10th. 4 months from now is the end of the fiscal year, and all we have is a very rough draft.
Republican Committee Chairman Tom Cole of Oklahoma adding,
we need more information than we've gotten.
Committee members stressed the need to balance national security with fiscal responsibility, and that national security requires a whole-of-government approach. Kip Mieretzky, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I see we got Chuck D and Billings on the phone lines. I'll try to sneak him on here. I know we are short on time, though, but first, we got a great guest who just popped into the studios here, Sean O'Daniel with State Farm. Man, he's always putting on some fun events in the Billings area. In fact, I was at the big, you know, volleyball tournament that had folks from all across Montana and basically five states in town. And the tournament wrapped up just in time so I could head down to the depot for their tacos and tequila event. And after a volleyball tournament, you need both of those. But
oh, yeah.
But man, tell us what you got coming up this Saturday in Billings.
Yeah, so we've got Magic City's Best of the Best. So it's all of the past winners and top three finishers all in one event. So it's all the foods. It's Drunken Noodles. It's burgers. It's chicken wings. It's pizza, Reuben sandwiches, milkshakes, a little bit of everything.
So basically, during COVID-19, you started putting on some really cool events, kind of like food truck battle things, stuff like that. And then you started doing some competitions where people could vote on who they felt was the best for this, the best for that. So this is a compilation of all of those winners.
Yep, compilation of the last 5 years. And actually, we've got a golden ticket as well this year. So to the World Food Championships in Indianapolis. So I wasn't going to do a competition, but then I decided, well, let's do a little golden ticket to the World Food Championship. So it's a people's choice, so the people get to vote who they send to represent Montana. So it should be pretty cool.
That's very cool. So, yeah, I could even see where other towns in Montana could do something like this, too, where you take, okay, who's got the best burger? Who's got the best milkshake? Who's got the best tacos? Pizza on it.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get them all in the same room.
Exactly.
For one big fiesta.
Yep.
And then usually you end up, doing these events and donating it to a good cause, et cetera.
Yeah. This year it's going to just go to the Billings Depot. So they're obviously a nonprofit in town here, too. So, but we've donated to, many nonprofits in the past, usually local nonprofits here, but I love to do it for a good cause always.
So this is Magic City's Best of the Best. All the winners making their winning dishes Saturday, June 14th, 6 to 10 p.m. at the Billings Depot. It was fun to see the Beef Council at your last event because there was some great beef in those tacos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're a part of this event, too.
Part of this one as well. Yep, they're going to be setting up a booth, actually, with a big cow kind of showing the different parts of the kind of an interactive thing. So that should be cool. Shaley, we always work with Shaley with Montana Beef Council. They've been awesome.
Yeah.
Rainbow Bar, local place on Montana Avenue here. They're going to be doing the drinks. Pepsi is going to be doing the non-alcoholic drinks. So, he's also providing waters. I think it's going to be a really nice night. So,
and people can just show up and pay at the door or whatever?
Yeah, this one's actually going to be free to get in, and then you just buy however many taste tokens that you want. So,
that's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Sean, great to see you as always. Thanks
Absolutely.
For what you're doing. Yeah. Let me see if I can sneak on Chuck D and Billings. I didn't get a chance to get to him before the break. So Chuck, that Maxine Waters clip, what stood out to you?
Well, Aaron, the kind of thing about it is if you remember your previous caller, we was talking about the speed with which you speak and everything and what it is out what she was saying, and she started, like, cataloging off all these different things, your brain naturally starts to just put all the things she's saying into a list, and it's hearing and hearing and hearing, and you're like, yep, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, doesn't really matter. But then the last thing she said was, don't think. And then she continued her statement, but it's kind of like your brain's already starting to put it all together, and the last thing it hits before it hits a pause, which kind of gives you the idea that the list is complete, it goes, don't think. And that kind of goes back to the whole thing of them trying to lay the foundation of, hey, don't believe what your lying eyes are telling you. Listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, don't think.
Yeah. So she's telling people, don't think. Don't believe all of these videos that you're seeing, the raw footage showing all the riots in L.A. and everything that's happening. Just listen to what I'm telling you. Don't believe what you're seeing with your own eyes. Exactly what they did with Joe Biden and his cognitive decline and everything else.
Right. It's like the metering. Like if you go back in history and you listen to the great orators, is the meter and speed of how they're saying what they're saying, which basically hypnotizes, in essence, the brain into just going along with it. And then any break in that rhythm is basically putting a period at the end of a sentence. Even though it's only pauses like two seconds or whatever. She's like, don't think.
Well, speaking of pauses, I got to pause right now. We got to get to the Fox News update at the top of the hour. We've got phone lines coming up in the 8 o'clock hour as well. Chuck, thanks for the call.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It was so easy, at least for a while, announce an ambitious carbon target for some future year in front of the microphones and cameras and bask in the approval that immediately followed. This formula was usually followed by a turning of the screws to shut down existing electric generating resources that were biggest emitters. But now it's time to get serious. Even if the technologies to replace fossil fuel resources at full scale were ready for the challenge, and they decidedly are not, the rarely mentioned costs of huge investments needed are becoming daily more apparent. Meanwhile, a new force in energy has emerged in the voracious new appetite for power coming from rollout of data centers, electrification, and AI. And so a more grown-up discussion of the future of energy would recognize a few realities. Wind and especially solar have helped fill the hole in generation from the retirement of coal, but we're not ready to retire what's left as quickly as folks think. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.